Let's just pray before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege once again to share your word. I pray for fresh mercy, sufficient grace, Lord. We're able to minister as an oracle of God. I'm able to speak, Lord God, with wisdom, with power to redeem it, and not to say things that are necessary. As the word goes forth, Lord, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do an eternal work in our hearts, Lord God, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation of what has gone forth, and also our emotions to further control and tempered by the power of the flow of the Spirit. Lord, as I pray, I also ask that, Lord, you confirm the word with signs following. Lord, we look to you for encouragement. We look to you for strength, Lord God, that Lord will live there better than we came. Thank you, Father, for grace to redeem. Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties unto you. Come and have you. Give me what to say in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Here to the Corinthian church, and as was today, say, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He said that wisdom is ordained before the world began unto our glory. So that's why I said wisdom, but it is not just unto glory, unto greater glory. Praise the Lord. Because Haggai chapter 2 verse 9 says, the glory of the latter house shall be what? Greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace. So it takes the greater glory of the latter house for us to have peace in this end time. Praise the Lord. So also to support this, John chapter 14 verse 12. Jesus Christ was talking to disciples and he said, verily, verily, he said to God, let's together, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also. And what? Greater works. Let's say together, greater works. That word greater is important. Because the greater works, the greater glory is scheduled for this end time. Praise the Lord. Say, greater works than this shall you do, because what? I go unto my Father. So keep in mind, they are talking today about the wisdom unto greater glory. Say, wisdom unto greater glory. It's not just going to happen because we wish it. Because what we are asking God for has never been seen before in the body of Christ. Are you with me? So he said that wisdom is hidden. And God has ordained that wisdom unto our glory. That's why I said wisdom unto greater glory. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 9. Talking about wisdom. Let's read together. Are we all there? It says, she, who is that? Who she's talking about? Wisdom. Shall give to thine head what? An ornament of grace. And a crown of what? Glory shall wisdom deliver unto thee. So there is a wisdom in God. A wisdom that is hid in the word of God. That is going to give us greater glory. Praise the Lord. Like this genesis of this message, God started talking to me after the last elections. And I will say maybe what I expected did not come to pass. So I was a bit discouraged. You know, but later on I kept on praying. And God began to talk to me. You see, so that we will not allow what is happening in our circumstances to become a distraction. Then later when Pastor and I began to share about the glory, the flood of glory, then God began to put it together to me. So, and God spoke to me and he said something. He said, our emphasis should be on getting the elect ready rather than on the election. You see, if you, mommy keeps praying recently about the Northern Star and the Northern Compass. You see, that it will take us to the fullness of our destiny. You see, if we see on the internet today, most so-called preachers spend their time talking about those that will win the election, those that will lose the election, blah, 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 blah. Some people even say things that are ridiculous. I saw one recently that said that if so-and-so does not enter, they should cut off his hand. Yes. And the Bible states clearly that we read every day. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12 says, and he gave some. Say, and he gave some. There God spells out the purpose of the fivefold ministry. It is not to predict who will win the election. Say, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you find that most so-called fivefold ministers, I said they are fake men of God. They have lost their compass. The compass has a needle that keeps pointing to the north. So they are just wandering what? In the wilderness. Praise the Lord. So God spoke to me and said our emphasis, once again I repeat, should be on getting the elect ready. Say getting the elect ready rather than on the election. You know why? Or else the heathen will keep on ruling over us. You know why? Because your destiny is to rule the nations with the rod of iron, including Nigeria. So if we don't get ready, and the nation is ready, somebody else will keep occupying the place. So the important thing is for the saints of God, the elect, to be ready. To take their position in Christ, like Daniel took his own in Babylon, like Joseph in Egypt. And Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, only in the throne will I be higher than you. Daniel just kept on changing king after king after king after king. Bible says that the saints of God and the priests and the ministers to weep between the pot and the altar. But why should they say, why should the heathen rule over and say, where is our God? People are asking today, where is our God? Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. This is your destiny. This is my destiny. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all what? Nations. All what? Nations. With a rod of iron. And her child was caught up onto the throne of God. Unto God and his throne. What are we saying? You see, the earlier the better. That the body of Christ, the get the elect ready. And now we keep on forecasting and predicting. I'm not saying that we don't pray about elections. I'm saying the primary thing we should focus on is getting ready. Once the church is ready and the man child is caught up, we begin to rule. And we will tell so and so, no, you cannot. I follow me. Like Elijah said, at my word there shall be no rain. But the question is, have we seen that anointing? We must not deceive ourselves. We don't have it yet. Why? Because we are yet to be caught up. When we are caught up, you see men and women standing in the fullness of Christ, ruling in the midst of their enemies. So it doesn't really matter, like Pastor said, whoever is in power. It doesn't matter. We shouldn't concern ourselves whether it is a Muslim, Christian, Muslim. That is not the issue. The issue is that our destiny is to rule the nations, including Nigeria, with the what? Rod of iron. So the greater glory speaks of two things, like Pastor has taught us. The greater glory of miracles, signs, and wonders in which you will heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And the greater glory of the ability of the mind of Christ. That's why it is greater. Are you all with me? So it's important that we know that. But I put in my notes, I said, this greater glory is only found in the spiritual ark of Noah. You see, it's not found anywhere else. And we're not preaching, what's it called? A gospel that is talking about us here alone. But as I continue, and we're not preaching an exclusive gospel, but as I continue, you will see. So this greater glory is only found in the spiritual ark of Noah, just like in the upper room of Pentecost. Those that got the glory in that time, in the former house, were those that were in the upper room in Jerusalem. Every other person that was not there didn't get it. At least the first of the first fruits. I say they were about 120. So we'll go back to some of the things that Pastor said, and I will share some of them just to explain something so we can understand why it can only be found in the upper room or in the ark of Noah, the spiritual ark of Noah. In the time of Noah, Noah built a physical ark made of gopher wood. But now, like Pastor taught us, it's a spiritual ark. And the pastor said that it is ready. That people are now being brought in into the heart, depending on the degree of the honesty of their hearts. Praise the Lord. So let's open the Bible to Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. Three things took place in the time of Noah. Most of us focus only on one thing. But three things took place in the time of Noah. And I'll use scriptures to explain it. The one that we all know is this. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. Let's read. But as in the days of Noah... As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, we're talking about the flood of glory now. Are you all with me? They were what? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark. The question I want before I read verse 39. Weren't they eating and drinking in the ark? Answer me. They were. They didn't get married because they already married before they got into the ark. And to the carnal mind, I'm not saying that marriage is very crucial to enter into the ark. So you don't say that I'm like one of the sons of Noah. Are you with me? But they were eating also, they were drinking. But you see, these physical things they were doing act as a distraction to the message of Noah. That we're getting at. Let me verse 39. I knew not. Until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be during the coming of the Son of Man. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What are we saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the end time, said in the end time will be like the time of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It's not wrong to marry you. But don't allow anything to distract you from the message of Noah. Because the flood is coming. The second thing that we are not used to, which I will read to you, is what Noah did. Before he built the ark, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Like Pastor said, the sower sowed the word. Righteousness here, talking about right doing. When you hear the word righteousness, righteousness means right doing, which is the same thing as perfecting the love of God. But I say love does right all the time. I'll read it later. But let's read the scripture that tells us the second thing that was going on in the time of Noah, which is already occurring. So you can easily identify the Noahs of our time. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. See what happened. And spared not the old world, but saved what? Noah, the eighth person. Who was Noah? A preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Ungodly there speaks mostly of Christians. A Christian that is not God-like. It's not like God. So before the ark was built, God gave Noah a commission to begin to preach. And the Bible says his message is a message of righteousness. What is righteousness? We have right standing and right doing. Right standing through the blood, but right doing, which is simply perfecting the love of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Amplified Bible says this. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. So when you say right standing, what was he preaching? He was preaching right doing. Are you with me? Which is love, because love always does the right thing. And God is love. Are you all following me? So Noah kept on preaching the love message to them at that time. But they kept on marrying and getting married, you know, drinking and misbehaving all over the place. And they did not take heed to the message of Noah. Are you all with me? So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, talking about the ungodly. It's when the flood begins, it's a flood of glory, not a flood of water. Even though it's going to come, Bible says that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. The time of Noah says that the fountains of the deep were broken up and the heavens were open, rain from above and rivers of water. Jesus Christ said in the last day, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was a message that Noah preached that acted as a catalyst for the outpouring of the rain from heaven and the flood waters. Deep collect on the deep, the Bible says. At the noise of thy water spouts, thy waves and billows have gone over me. Are you all with me? So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It's not a day to be outside the ark. You understand as I continue. What does Peter say? Say, For the time is come. That judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner be? So you see, the ungodly here is different from the sinner. The sinner is the one that is not born again. The ungodly is the one, in line with what I'm talking about, that is not listening or practicing what Jonah was preaching, which is to perfect the love of God. I already read Romans chapter 13, verse 10, that says, love does no wrong to his neighbor. Which is always, love always does the right thing. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So the third thing that Noah did, I said he preached, was a preacher of righteousness, as we just seen.
And then people are not listening to you, so we are marrying and getting married. So what did Noah do? Noah, what did he do? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, let's read it. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what?
Fear.
Moved with what?
Fear.
And prepared what? An ark to the saving of his house. Are you all with me? So, when Noah began to preach, he was preaching to everybody the message of righteousness, which is the message of love. How to perfect the love of God. People said, they didn't listen, they despised them. Why? Because they had never seen the flood before. As at that time, the Bible says that from the Garden of Eden, steam used to come out of the earth to water the plants. Nobody has ever seen that the rain looks like before. So to him, it's like, just like we are preaching today, and we're saying that the greater glory is coming. Glory of latter shall be greater than the former. People are laughing at us and saying, where is the promise of his coming? We have never seen this thing before. Are you following me? So also in the time of Noah. But you know why? It is that act of love. Pastor said, Noah moved with what?
Fear.
That is, he daily chose the fear of God. The fear of Lord is instruction of wisdom. So he was someone that feared the Lord. He chose the fear of God daily. So he was able to download the instructions from God. A pastor taught us, you know, the length of the ark was 300 cubits. You know, the height was 30 cubits. And then the width, the breadth, was 50 cubits. Which have different significance. Let me just explain. Pastor mentioned it. You know, the daily chose the fear of God. 30 stands for perfection of the commandment. The 50 is Pentecostal anointing. It was 50 days after they came out, that in Mount Sinai, that the God appeared to them after they came out from Egypt, brother. Are you all with me? And I also know in the New Testament, it was 50 days after the resurrection that the Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room. Are you all with me? And that 300 stands for maturity of the commandment. Now we know how to mature in keeping the commandment. We know the wisdom. We know the how of the how. It's not something that you can be. It's not wishful thinking. Okay, I will love God. No, you know exactly what to do. Thank God for apostolic wisdom. Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. Because if you are not in the ark, you are going to be drowned. We'll not be drowned if you just sin. What does it say? So Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench what?
Love.
Neither can the floods drown it. So it tells you that if you are not in the ark of love, of perfecting that love, when the flood of glory hits the body of Christ, those that are outside, two thoughts, Bible says, shall be cut off. A love will wax cold. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So I was saying, many waters cannot drown love. So those that headed into, those that heeded the preaching of Noah, are those with honest and humble hearts. Those are the ones that followed Noah into the ark. Like Pastor said, they are the ones that the degree of the honesty and the degree of their hearts are between from 30 upwards to 60, and then from 60 to 100, using the parable of Esau. The Bible says that, talking about the good ground, it said that which was sown in a good and honest ground brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Anybody whose honesty and humility of heart, Christian or sinner, is below 30-fold, is outside the ark. That's outer court Christians. Are you following me? Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, to explain this. What does it say? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have what? Right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates, enter the ark, into the city. For without our what? Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, that's Babylon, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. In the same book of Revelation, it says, measure the temple and them that worship therein. He said that the court that is without, leave it. Don't measure it, but trodden down by the Gentiles. It is those that are outside the ark of Noah. You see, this ark is not scripture, pastor, folks. It is gigantic spiritual ark that has billions and billions and billions of Christians inside. And Noah, not just one man. It's just that we are privileged to have a Noah in our time. That's a Noah and his wife. They're Noah's sons and their wives. And then the living things that they brought into the ark. Praise the Lord. Are you all with me? So, it says, those that make a lie. Who are those that make a lie? They are Christians that hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. They're outside the ark. They can't enter. What is this wisdom we're talking about? We're talking about the wisdom unto greater glory. The wisdom is the wisdom of loving God more. So the wisdom is twofold. Say loving God more. So let's look at it from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. What does it say? Talking about this greater glory. It says, but as it is written, let's read together. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had done what? Say prepared. Prepared for who? For every Christian. For them that love him. It's not for every Christian. No. Just like Noah must move with fear and prepare the ark to the saving of his own household. This greater glory you are talking about, God has prepared it not for every Christian, it's for Christians that love him. And you'll be saying in your heart, but I love God now. Loving God is not singing choruses. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. That's not it though. It's part of it, but just the icing on the cake. Those that love God more. Jesus told Peter, John chapter 21, verse 15. You know what he said? So when he had what? Dined. When they had dined, that was after his resurrection, and they too, they went out fishing. You know what happened in that period of time? We're going to get there, but I'll mention so I don't forget. Immediately Christ saw them. You know what he did? He washed their feet. You know, because if he did not wash their feet, that boat would have capsized. That is what happened, like Pastor Kole was sharing earlier on, when you go somewhere you're not supposed to go. They went where they're not supposed to. He had told them, said, go and tarry in the upper room. Peter said, I go out fishing. I said, we follow you too. And they kept on fishing. Remember the last time that Jesus Christ was sleeping in the boat? Satan kicked up a storm. How much more when Christ was not there? So the man had to come straight from heaven. So, Father, this is a serious issue. My work of over how many years? 3 years. 3.5 years. Is at stake. So he said, I have to go back. It wasn't part of the program. If they didn't go and fish, will you appear to them? No. So he said, Father, I'm coming. Holy Spirit, I have to go back once again. So went there. Quickly washed their feet. Prepared food for them. Is it food you want to eat, Abby? You didn't have to go. If you want to eat fish, Abby, you didn't have to go there now to go and be looking for a fish pie. Don't worry now. Why are you wasting time? That's what many Christians do. Many Christians, they leave the place of destiny in search of fish. At the risk of their lives. Then something happens all of a sudden. Boom. The guy passes out. People start crying. Oh, oh, oh. Like it happened. Like I spoke to me now. Like Elimelech. And Naomi, he lost his 2 sons. He too died. They were in search of fish because there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. So Christ had to come down immediately. He that ascended, descended for. So I had to descend again. And said, quickly prepared food for them. Which was sweeter than what they were preparing. He must have brought it from heaven. So he said, after they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, the leader of the pack. So God is talking to leadership of the church today. Who have led the body of Christ astray. Like we are saying that they have left the people of God from mountain to hill. In search of bread and fish. So he said to them, he said, Simon. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than this? Ah! He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He was trying to say, it's not the love of singing choruses. It's the love that demands commitment to doing something. Love not your lives unto death. Now, some people are saying, is it wrong to travel out? No, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Or don't hear what I have not said. Please don't hear that. I'm just saying that wherever you are, make sure it is where God wants you to be. So you don't begin to think that somebody will die if he travels out. That is not what I'm saying. And I did not say that. Or else we are preaching an exclusive gospel only for those of us here, and it is not so. Because Christ told them, he said they saw somebody cast out devils in him. He said it wasn't with us. I said, ah, no, he wants, he can do it. He can never speak evil of. So we are not talking. We are talking about you knowing the will of God for your life and willfully going ahead to do what is wrong. Are you all with me? So let's get interpretation correctly. So we don't make a mistake. So he said, he said unto me, you know, on the guy, he said, feed my lambs. You know why I told him that? Because if he did not feed the lambs, they will not go into the ark and they will perish. Are you with me? If he did not feed the lambs, he said in another place, feed my sheep. If he did not feed the sheep or the lambs, they will go and eat what they're not supposed to eat and they will die prematurely, like I was sharing on Wednesday. Paul said, I have no man's blood in my hands. So when leaders in the body of Christ abdicate their throne and go somewhere God has not sent them in search of bread and fish, they won't say it like that. Or to go and start a ministry where God did not tell them to start it. Are you following me? What will happen to the lamb? So Christ came down in summary and mercy. Not just to Peter, to the remaining we're number 12 again. Judas already died. 11 of them. He said, feed my lamb. So he said, what I want to see? They say, lovest me more than this. That is, your love for God must be far above love for bread and fish. Now when we begin to make decisions, look at the decision. Yes, the job has been offered me. But if I take this job, it's going to affect my work with God. You will know. I'm not saying, you know, I didn't mention anybody's job. But you are going to make some cold-blooded decisions. Not just job, but certain things. The person you are going to marry. Say, if I marry this person, it will be a weight and a sin to me. And go to drag me down. You will know. You will know in your heart. It's not something that you can come and ask counsel and say, no, you will know. You will know. Now, you both have an adage. He said that what is going to fill your belly is you can see with your eyes. I say, you, when you look at your kid, I know this thing is, this one will fill. I know this one. You will know. Folks, when that's how you obey your conscience. Don't deny that conscience. That northern compass. Make sure it is sensitive. And always stand down. So we don't begin to, I'm saying this again, so don't begin to misinterpret it and say, okay, he's saying again that we can't go out do and work here. We can't work in the bank. No, that's what I'm saying. No. You will know in your heart. You will know. Bible says, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. Put in Amplified Bible for me. So it's not a question of traveling out or not traveling out. But if he will do his will, you will know. It's in John chapter 8. Put Amplified Bible. I also mention it. To read, it's not in my notes. No. John, I think John chapter 8. Put it on the board as I keep talking so we don't waste time. So he said, feed my lambs. Let me find it. What? John chapter what? 7, what is it? 7:17. Put it in Amplified Bible. Let's just look at it. So you see, it's not that God doesn't want us to know. But people don't want to know. Please put it down time. Amplified Bible. Okay, it says, so when, no. Okay, let's go. I said, if any man, say any man, desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know. What does that know mean? Have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself. I can't tell for you, but you can tell for yourself. God will open your eyes and you will know. But I can't marry this person. I can't take this assignment now. You will know. For an assignment that look good, come to you like that of matter, you will know. But I know. I can't do this now. I can't go and join matter. It's better to stay at it. You will know. So let's move on. So that is one. Then, I said loving God more. Second thing is walking in greater love towards the brethren. Say, walking in greater love towards the brethren. Brethren, we are not going anywhere. You cannot pray brethren that are always like some people, you can't pray them away. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. What does it say? And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We are talking about how we are going to get this wisdom for greater glory. John chapter 15, verse 13. Now look at it. We are talking about greater glory. John 15, 13 says, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So if you want greater glory, you have to walk in greater love towards the brethren by laying down your life. What does that mean? 1 John chapter 5 verse 16, we've been taught. If any man sees brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So those two things, we must begin to love God more. And then begin to lay down lives for the brethren, which is simply washing of feet. Somebody does something wrong, instantly what you should do is remedy sins. He says, whoever sins to remedy, remitted unto them. Something happened recently and I heard it. I saw that my turnaround time to ask for life had increased. Now, immediately I heard, I just said, Lord, please have mercy on this guy. I prayed for him and I moved on. Praise the Lord. So how do we love him? Going back to the first one. By keeping his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So it goes beyond physical activity. It goes beyond going on missionary field. It goes beyond cooking for Jesus all the time. Those things are okay, but they're just the icing on the cake. So don't major on the icing and leave the cake. He said it there, it's clear. If you are doing every other thing else, and you don't keep that commandment, you don't love God, even though it appears to everybody that you love him. We need to understand these things. Love is spiritual. It's not activity. It's spiritual. It's work. The work of faith with power. Washing of feet is work. That's when you love God. That's why I say, when Christ came down, the first thing he did, the Bible doesn't say it, he washed their feet. Asked life for them. So that what? Their hearts could be tender to repent. So he now prepared for them. His work, he was working in love. And then he now started talking to them. That's how to work in love, as you keep God's commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will what? Love him, and will what? Manifest to him. That is the key to the manifestation of the greater glory. That is the degree of our diligence in loving God more by keeping his commandments and loving the brethren more. As a greater love, at no man that laid down last week, then we can see the greater glory. So it's going to take greater love to see the greater glory. Greater love towards the brethren. You forgive the brethren, folks. Look at what Paul did when Onesimus stole from Philemon and he ran away. The question I ask is this. How come under Philemon's covering, Onesimus could not get born again? It was when he ran away under Paul's ministry that he got born again. Paul said, I'm sending it back to you. Greater love had no man than this. And a man should lay down his life for his brethren. Can you imagine if God had given up on me? I use myself as an example. Before I got born again, let's even leave that one. Let's bury the hatchet. I shouldn't be here today. In fact, I would have died a long time ago, and if you open my grave, you don't even see the bones there. They will have rotten. God, I would have died a long time ago. But your love kept on reaching out to me. Now, after we got born again, can you count the number of times that God has showed mercy on you? Then show mercy on others too. Believe the best about him, just like he believed the best about Judas. He could have kicked him out the first year, he did not. He could have kicked him out the second year, he did not. He could have kicked him out the third year, he did not. You know what he did? When he even came to Britain, you know, he called him friend. He said, no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. So Judas, he called him a friend. Up to the last moment, he was still working in love. To try, you know why? To try, because he had seen his destiny. And he didn't want him to miss that part in the holy city. So, you don't understand. You see, how do I explain this thing? What could he have done to Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. Even if he stole 1,000 pieces of silver, it can't be compared to what God has laid in store for him. That Judas' eyes had not seen. His ears had not heard. Not have entered Jesus. So when people offend you or do something wrong, look at them with the eyes of love in view of their destiny and eternity. You know what happens? If they don't change, they will meet God there. So, Let's continue. So that's why we're going to manifest glory. Because if you don't get to that level of greater love for the brethren, and God will test you. He will send people to you. They will offend you. They will do things to you. I don't want to give an example. They will do things to you. You think you are okay. Then God will move the thing up a bit. When those things happen to me nowadays, you know, I just say, instantly, the first thing I do is I just change to air for the person. The person might be 3 years. Or I just change to air. At least I already raised the person higher. So I can walk in love. So you don't go and do something to me that will make me smite the rock like Moses and then will not be able to enter the promised land. So I esteem them highly. Those in authority also will esteem highly. But when I see somebody that is trying to take me out of purpose, I esteem them highly. In my heart, say, Ekwele, Ekwishe. Yes. So the twofold commandments, that commandment is twofold. Say, the commandment of life and commandment of love. The commandment of life. John chapter 12, verse 49 to 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me what? A commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. So you begin to take the commandment of receiving life, of receiving life as a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you want to go and pray and don't draw sufficient life. Or else you won't be able to walk in love. It's like somebody that wants to travel to Lagos and put 4 liters in the car. He probably won't get more than 2. Yes, yes. The life of God is fuel to walk in the love of God. So the more measures you have, the more you can walk in love. The lesser measures, the lesser you can walk in love. And you are better be feeling all the time. Because you don't know when you go on a long journey of love. So your car, which is the love of God, does not begin to stutter on the way. Then some people, their gauge is not working. They say, only didn't you put fuel in the car? I did now. I'm 1,000. Only but fuel is 250. That is 4 liters. It's not going to the days of, you know, but no. Folks, whereby has he given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now add insufficient measure. There's no point praying and not filling with the life of God. By the time you get to supplication, your love car will start going like this. That's when you now pick your phone and begin to send text messages and read WhatsApp. While the fuel has finished, what will happen to somebody that's car is fuel finishes on the expressway? It's not, we'll call the mechanic now. Start reading the newspaper. They won't come for me. They can't move again. It's very important. So see the life of God as a commandment. Say commandment. Some people cannot retreat or say you are not doing. I remember this man's book, F.A. Bosworth. There's a chapter on the life of God. He said a life that lives out itself. You see, there's something we don't understand. You see, you can be condemning yourself momentarily, but if you recognize that what makes you stumble is the measure of life that is in you. When it is low, you will misbehave. When it is high, you will do right thing. Before Adam fell, he was doing well, right or wrong. So when the life starts dropping, you're going to get covetous, you're going to get angry, you're going to lust in your heart, and you're going to commit adultery like David. When kings ought to go to battle. So when you understand that, it takes love away from the emotional state. It now brings it to a business. I say, I might go by my father. That, you know, look, this is a matter of life and death. I need to draw sufficient life. And then make sure with that sufficient life, or else you're not able to walk in love that day. Many of our God has just kept us from certain things that people easily get offended. But it's because he's going to allow you to face some situations. If you like, be offended. By reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. Let's keep reading. Then the second commandment is commandment of love. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is, love your brethren that are stealing from you the same way Jesus loved Judas that was stealing from the bank. That will make it very clear to you. You will not get there overnight too. Nobody gets there overnight. I just give an example. Now, you don't go and steal. I expect him to love you. There is discipline in love also. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. They shouldn't chasten you if you steal. So I'm not saying go and steal.
I'm just saying, we need to grow into the measure of a stature of fullness. So why? Why is this message important? To get a wisdom to receive the greater glory. I have a very important point here. Pastor was sharing, but I'll just explain it. Point number one, God is about to release a flood of glory that will exalt those in the ark as they experience an accelerated spiritual growth through the teaching and the covering of Noah and his wife, causing them to inherit the bold anointing that will bring judgment upon the two thoughts that are outside the ark. What am I saying? You see, Pastor has taught us, and it's true. Surely as the sun will rise tomorrow, there's about to be a flood of glory. And that flood of glory, like the flood of Noah, raised up the ark. That exaltation there speaks about spiritual growth, accelerated spiritual growth and development. It was, well, Pastor Larry, I've also heard that in my life some 30 years ago. Accelerated spiritual growth and development. That is, they will feed you like they feed all these chickens. That you grow. Accelerated. So you that you begin, it's no time, you'll have just gone pew, like that. Why? Because you're in the ark. And will bring judgment to those that are outside. But the two thoughts shall be cut off and die. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. I won't read it. Now, if you take this, follow me. Let's now look at interpretation of the New Testament. The rains in the time of Noah was for 40 days. Genesis chapter 7, verses 12, 17 to 19, 18. Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters what? Increased. And waters what? Increased. And bear up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. Above your carnality. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly. Say greatly. Upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. We're just going on cooler. Why? Because inside the ark, those that are under Noah's covering have been exalted. What brought judgment to the people has brought spiritual growth to them. So they've grown and are still growing because it consists of I and the children that God has given for signs and wonders. They kept on growing. So that judgment just kept lifting them up. Now, see what happened during the 40-day rain. They were not just eating. Noah was teaching them. He was teaching them like what Christ did in the upper room for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. To whom also, talking about Lord Jesus after his resurrection, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. How many days? 40 days. And speaking what? The things pertaining to the kingdom. So, just like in the time of Noah, when God shot them into the ark, the spiritual ark now, Noah and his wife, they started teaching the living things that were inside. That's what they were doing. They were not just eating. He was teaching them the things concerning. Because they were going to go out of the ark when the flood subsided and were going to multiply, replenish the earth, start a new race of men. Are you all following me? So here also, we see in the upper room of Pentecost, Jesus Christ appeared to them for 40 days. He was teaching them things concerning the kingdom. And what? Acts chapter 2 says, suddenly, a mighty rushing wind came down upon them. And they were baptized and cloven with tongues of fire. The second reason I have here is this. God wants to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. Say to the intent that now, unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church. Say, by the church. This one is for the church. The manifold wisdom of God. The third point I have, which is the last point, why we have to make sure we enter the ark and also increase in the degrees of the honesty of our hearts and the humility of our hearts. Are you all with me? Is that God is about to send out through apostolic and prophetic ministries who have been kept safe and grown up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in the ark. You see, the ark served two major purposes. First of all, to keep those group of people that were inside. The Bible says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that has come to try them, were there upon the ark. Where is he keeping them? In the ark. The spiritual ark built by Noah, the ark of love. And the second thing, while they were there, it was for them to grow into the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. It's like a greenhouse in agriculture. In a greenhouse, you have plants that cannot survive the elements of the air. When they put them in the greenhouse, they give controlled environments. So birds cannot come, insects cannot come and begin to eat the leaves because they are still tender. They'll be there for a certain period of time. So the person in charge or the professor or whoever, Professor Lopade, he'll be going there every day. It's a tedious task. They'll be put to, measure water, the life of God. And they'll put manure there. They begin to dunk them, like he says. They keep dunking them. So they keep on growing and growing and growing and growing. And then while they are growing, they are shielded from the elements of air. So when they are ready, they now bring them out and now transplant them. So what am I saying? The ark has served those two purposes, and it's serving those purposes to protect and to preserve. That is what covering does. Are you following me? And then so they can grow. You can grow. So you can grow spiritually without any hindrance. So you can grow as fast as you can before the waters begin to recede. Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. That was what Moses' mother did. Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of what? Bulrushes. And daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the riverbank. So what are we seeing? The ark, the Bible talks about three arcs. There are three arcs in the Bible. You see the ark of Moses, the ark of the covenant, and the ark of Noah. There are three arcs. And you see, the ark of Moses was to protect him. Man, he said, look, he couldn't hide this guy again. So just put him in the ark. And pitched it, just like Noah pitched it, ark within and without. Now, what are we saying? How does it apply to us? The next time you see this word bulrushes, is the book of Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. As God is about to send out ambassadors, messengers, talks about apostolic and prophetic ministries. I will read. Say, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. We've been taught that this speaks of Nigeria. It is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. That sendeth what? Ambassadors by the sea, even in what? Vessels of bulrushes upon the waters. Saying, go ye swift messengers. Talking about apostolic and prophetic ministries. NIV says, to a people tall and smooth skinned, whose land rivers divide. That's rivers Niger and River Benue. Talks about a bride of Christ, like without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such things. So God is going to send them out. The ark of bulrushes. And it says something in verse 3. It says, all ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains. And when he blew the trumpet, think about the prophetic ministry, hear ye. What are we saying? I said something, God told me, said, focus on the elect getting ready than the elections. If we don't get the elect ready, no one is going to go out. But see, God wants the nation, the church in Nigeria, to fulfill his prophetic destiny. So he's drawing billions, not just here, everywhere, into the ark so we can grow to the measure of a stature of the fullness of Christ. When do we go out? When the man child is cut off. And now begin to rule the nations with a rod of iron. So how do we attain this that we're talking about? Number one, diligence in daily choosing the fear of God. Say diligence in daily choosing the fear of God. So if you're already doing these things, you are in the ark. Just step up your act. Let the degree of your honesty and humility of your heart increase so you can receive more mercy and more grace. Bible says he giveth more grace in the book of James. So that is it, because it's your heart that will determine the measure of life you get. Like Pastor, that's thing that Pastor gave us, that circle. He says that humility gives birth to grace, grace to life, life to light, and then light wisdom. So, boys, as you increase in the degree of your honesty of your heart, you move from anything from 31, you move to 60, then you move from 60, you move to 100. So second thing, diligent Bible reading and studying. Third thing, praying the Pauline prayers for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, we've all been taught. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 to 20. And all their Pauline prayers, because it's very important. You need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be able to see and understand
So when they give you instructions concerning building your own ark or ark of love, you don't begin to doubt. You could be, because you can see it yourself. Praise the Lord. And then finally, or well, not finally, united praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer under covering. Thank God for good morning, Jesus. That's what he does. You are praying corporately. I says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Are you all with me? So the corporate, you see, it's not something you can do alone. Now, does that mean that you don't do individual prayers? Then you didn't hear what I said. That's what God is saying. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ departed to the solitary place and pray. So you too must depart to the solitary place and pray. But you also join in corporate praying. Because the power you generate is multiplied. Are you following me? It's multiplied in under covering. Are you with me? So you join another prayer in the spirit with all kinds of prayer under covering. You know, praying all kinds of prayer. So when they are praying, for example, good morning, Jesus, we said over and over. We said, mommy will say, you know, we should begin to build them up ourselves and most of it, praying, you know, God, as you rise up and edify. So as you are praying, don't just sit down and get distracted. Be praying in the spirit. Be praying in the spirit. As we are saying amen, be praying in the spirit. As I was saying amen, be praying in the spirit. Don't just sit down and then say amen, amen, amen. No, you have not amened anything that day. You have to be praying in the spirit. So you don't wait till they say, let's now pray in the spirit. You're already charging up yourself. So when they say, pray, you find out when they say, pray, you just say, boom. You're not just starting the car. So, I have two scriptures under this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. We're talking about receiving the wisdom for greater glory. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, says, how be we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery? So, you see, in that corporate setting, what you will not normally receive in your personal prayer closet, you will get it there. Because there is power being generated, excess power. And then it will now be distributed according to every man's need. Then the fifth point I have, which is the last point I believe, is diligent washing of feet using the blood, the word, and the spirit. You do this at least 4 times daily during every temptation and at every opportunity. Are you with me? That goes back to the aspect of good, Lord, having greater love for the brethren. So when you see your brother, see a sin not unto death. Not even where you sit physically, either you hear or it comes to your mind, because you see with your mind, because it's the eyes of your understand your mind before that. So when your mind just asks for life, you see the degree of your diligence and practice in keeping this commandment will ultimately determine the measure of the spirit or the glory that you carry under the covering of Noah and his wife. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's ask Him for mercy. I believe all of us should bring the ark by now. But the assignment in this ark is to make sure we increase in honesty and humility of heart. So we can receive sufficient grace to keep this commandment, to love God more and to love the brethren more by washing their feet. The Lord Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful minds, in pure lives that in deeper reverence praise. In deeper reverence praise.
Next verse.
Drop not still tears of quietness till all us striving.
Take from our souls.
Take from our souls the strength.
respond, Lord, as we raise up one hand and put the other on our hearts. Breathe through the heat of our desires. Let's take that song. The next verse as we pray. Breathe through the heat of our desires.
Breathe through the heat of our desires, thy coolness in thy palm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake wind. Oh, still small voice of calm. Oh, still small voice of calm.
Let's not be, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the wisdom needed to obtain the greater glory. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure to enable me to exercise my heart more in honesty and humility under the covering of said spiritual fathers. I also pray for grace to diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God, to be able to meditate daily in the word, to pray the Pauline prayers, to practice united praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer, and also the washing of feet to perfect God's love in my conduct daily in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray to Father, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for love. Rabba sun tolomo sikara badoria. Rabba sun prima. Rubo sun tolomo kure basalaba. Rubo rabba sun prima kure basekara badoria. Rubo santa rabba kura bakuto fredo. In Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you're here and you need healing, just reach out. The power of God is in the air. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them and divided up the destructions. Father, we pray for our brethren that are here present or are watching online. Father, we send your healing word to everyone to bring out the spirit recovery from every attack of the enemy. We also pray for peace of mind, that peace that passeth all understanding. We bind every spirit of infirmity and we set you loose into liberty of the sons of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.